Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from thee.'" We want to see a sign from you. "But he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." I love it when our Lord says that. A greater than Jonas here. We know, because of the word we just read, that the account of Jonah was written for one reason only. And that reason is to show us the only sign God chose to give us of who our Messiah and Savior would be and how He would save. How He would save. How He would accomplish salvation. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, even so would the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. Now tonight, I want us to look at the whole story of Jonah. Okay, start to finish. Whole story. With an emphasis, as we look at the whole story, with a focus, I'm trying to get to an emphasis on the very last verse in the whole book. Chapter 4, verse 11. And we'll see it in just a minute, all right? Go with me, if you would, to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I want to give you a 4-point outline for this message tonight. There are 4 chapters, and tonight each chapter will be a point in this outline. Chapter 1 is the sin. Chapter 2 is the remedy for the sin. Chapter 3 is the declaration of the remedy for the sin. Chapter 4 is the glory of the declaration of the remedy for the sin. All right? Chapter 1, verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." What an astounding 3 verses of Scripture. That's God's prophet. That's the one God used to pen the book. That's His called prophet. God said, "Do this. Do this." Jonah blatantly turned his back on God and went and did the exact opposite of what God said to do. God said, "Go to Nineveh." Jonah got up and went straight to Joppa. And he got on a ship sailing to Tarshish. The end of verse 3 says, from the presence of the Lord. That right there is bold sin. Is it not? That is not subtle, underhanded sin. That is open defiance, shake your fist, spit in the face of God sin. That's what it is. And we all right now are welcome. We are absolutely welcome to remove the name Jonah and write our own name right there in his place, okay? This is exactly how we have treated the holy God who made us and owns us. And I was dwelling on that today. It's true. It's not just a statement. It's not just the beginning of an outline. It's true. This is how we have treated the holy God who made us and owns us. And he's not going to allow it to go unpunished. Jonah is a picture of Christ. Our Lord said he was. But all through this story, Jonah is also a picture of us, all the way to the end. He's a picture of us. All right, so that's what Jonah did. Verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Jonah put his trust in something that was not the Lord. He went and got in this ship. And the Lord revealed to him immediately, "Don't put your trust here. There's no trust in these things." If a man turns his back on God's word and tries to make his own way, he's going to end up broken. His way is going to end up broken. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Always. Verse 5 says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them." That is man's works. That's man's works. That's exactly what man does. As soon as he realizes he's in trouble. We've realized that before, haven't we? As soon as he realizes he's in trouble, he goes to work throwing stuff out. We're going to have to get rid of some of this stuff. We're going to have to start throwing stuff out. We've got to stop doing this and stop doing that. And we're going to have to lighten the weight of sin. We're going to have to make it so that God will be happier with us. What they don't realize is, what men and women don't realize is, once the sin is committed, the sin is committed. What's done is done. You cannot undo what's done. You cannot undo what's done. Verse 5 goes on to say, "But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them." They asked Jonah the same question God asked Jacob. What's your name? Who are you? Who are you? God asked Adam, where are you? God is going to put his people in a position where they have to confess their sins before him. They have to acknowledge the truth before him. Jonah had to acknowledge exactly what he did. Jonah had to acknowledge exactly what he deserved. Look at verse 11. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Is that not where God puts every single one of us? The fault is mine. Man naturally knows that the fault is sin. Everybody in religion knows that. That's why they're in religion. They know the fault is sin. But when God gets a hold of a sinner, and aren't we so glad God gets a hold of sinners? Aren't we so glad God truly works? God truly lays His hand on us. When God gets a hold of a sinner, that sinner realizes it's not just sin, it's me. It's not just sin, it's my sin. Sin is not just the problem, I'm the problem. My sin. And Jonah said, I know what it's going to take for God to be appeased. Verse 12, he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Man has good religious intentions of saving himself and saving others. He has good religious intentions of that, but it is not possible. They rowed and they rowed and they rowed and they got nowhere. It is not possible. None can deliver out of his hand. None can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? None. Verse 14, Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, this is where Jonah represents Christ. Jonah represents us. Jonah represents Christ. Jonah, pointing us to our glorious Savior, told these men, You throw me in and you'll all be saved. What's going to happen to us? What must we do? How do we get out of this? How can we be saved? How can we be delivered? He said, Throw me in and every one of you will be saved. And they said, God be merciful to us, and threw him in. And the sea was calm. And God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Every man in that boat, because of Jonah the man, representing us, because of one man's sin, he got in that boat and everybody was in trouble. Even so, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Sacrifice me, you'll all be saved. This is the only remedy for sin. This is the only remedy for sin against God. This is what God required as a payment. What's done is done. Can't be undone. You can't just get out of it. This is what God requires as a payment to satisfy his wrath against sin. Chapter 2. We see Jonah here get what he deserved. Jonah suffered God's wrath against him, but he did it in the person of his substitute. Christ said, Jonah is a sign of the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Jonah points you to me. All right, let's read this chapter. We're just going to read these 10 verses here. Listen to the voice of the Savior. Listen to him in the depths of our torment, our wrath, our punishment. Listen to him speak to his Lord and God and Father. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Christ prayed. Jonah prayed, pointing us to Christ. Unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Is that not amazing? You know what you and I deserve? We deserve to go to hell. Listen to our substitute. Out of the belly of hell I cried. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. These floods will not compass us about. They compassed him about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. You think about the high holy God of heaven, the King of Mount Zion, coming all the way down to Mount Calvary and all the way down to the bottom of the mountains, as low as the mountains can go, down in the depths. He said in verse 6, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. For 3 days our Savior was in the heart of the earth. And when he arose, he cried unto the Lord, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, or suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And he said, God heard my cry. Out of the pit, he delivered me. And when he arose out of that grave, it was over. It was over. Completely finished. The great transaction was done. When he arose, Jonah arose with him. We arose with him. All of God's people arose with him. And now he says to Jonah, representing every single one of us, every one of his people, now he says, redeemed sinner, it's finished. It's done. Christ suffered it. He endured it. Now, redeemed sinner, it's time for you to go declare the good news. That is all we're doing in the preaching of the gospel. That is the mission of the preaching of the gospel. We are here to declare the good news. Isn't that right? We're here to declare the good news. We're not here to go beg anybody to do anything. We're not here to go start fundraisers and yard sales and all kinds of things. We're here to declare the good news of what Christ endured in our place. Happy news. Good news. It's done. He said, now go declare it. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Cry the gospel cry. You run with the declaration of the remedy of man's sin. You run with it, and you declare it. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." He went into that city. He traveled a whole day crying, "The end is coming. Judgment is coming." That's where the declaration starts. Judgment's coming. Men and women will never enter into the good news if they never enter into the bad news. Never. The end is coming. Verse 4, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now watch this. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. They believed God. Can you believe it? This great city, it takes 3 days to travel through this city. He went through crying, "Judgment is coming," and every single one of them believed God, from the least all the way up to the king. He set his own robe aside, covered himself in ashes. Why do we have ourselves so convinced that men and women are not going to believe God? Why do we have ourselves so convinced? Well, you know, I'll tell you, but you're not going to believe it. I'll tell you the truth, but you're not going to believe it. Lord, keep me from that attitude. May God teach us to leave faith in His hands. Just go declare what He told us to declare. You just go cry it. Jonah went, he did what God told him to do, and he cried, "God is about to judge this place for all the sin that has been committed against him." And the people believed God. We do too, don't we? We believe God. They all feared the warning of the true and living God. They all fell down in dust and ashes, crying for mercy. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" You know what that's called? Repentance towards God. All of a sudden, the gospel message came through, and God's Holy Spirit blessed the message, and those people received a changed mind. Wait a minute. What are we doing? God, be merciful to us sinners. That is repentance toward God and belief of the truth. And it is the goodness of God that leads any sinner to repentance. If any sinner repents, God led that sinner to repentance. Verse 10 says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not." This message truly saves. They cried, "God, be merciful to us," and He was. He didn't do it. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ truly does save. The truth of what Christ accomplished really will set men free. It truly will. Now, Jonah, being the sinner that he is, he's going to do what we sinners do best, okay? This is what Gabe Stonecker does best. He's going to complain. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Now, this question right here needs to be asked to two people. This question needs to be asked to two people, Jonah and Gabe Stonecker. Now, what are you so upset about? I'm sorry, I don't understand. What are you so upset about? Verse 1 says, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, I knew you were going to have mercy on them. I knew you were. You told me to go cry. Judgment is coming. You told me to stand up and cry to all of them. Judgment is coming. And I knew you were going to be gracious. I knew you were going to be patient. I knew you were going to be kind. I knew you were going to make them bow and cause them to cry out for mercy. And I knew you'd hear their prayer. I knew you'd deliver them. I knew you would. I'm sorry. Now, what are we so upset about? What are we so upset about? Can we not say that the only thing we have received from our God is graciousness and patience and kindness and mercy? Isn't that all we have received? What are we so upset about? Gabe Stonecker, what are you so upset about? What are you so upset about? What have you received of your Lord? Graciousness, kindness, mercy, patience, peace, love, tenderness, compassion, provision, protection. Verse 3 says, therefore now, O Lord, Jonah said, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Do you do well to be angry? Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. He was so glad for that gourd. And if you have a center reference in your Bible, you'll see it says, rejoiced with great joy. He sat there rejoicing in that gourd that was shading his head from that sun beating down on him. And God right here is going to teach Jonah something about his graciousness and his kindness and his patience and his mercy. That's what he's going to do right here. Verse 7 says, but God prepared a worm. God prepared a gourd. And Jonah, oh, he loved that gourd. Verse 7 says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. God prepared a gourd to give Jonah that shade. But God prepared a worm to make the gourd wither and die. And I dwelled on the fact that God prepared the gourd and God prepared the worm. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Isn't that right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. He said, I'm mad about this gourd. I'm mad that it was destroyed. I delighted in it. I was pleased it was there. It brought me joy. And I'm angry because I didn't want it to be destroyed. Verse 10. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? In that verse, that's my favorite verse in the whole text. This is my favorite verse in the whole text. In that verse, this is what our Lord is saying. Here's the glory in the declaration. Here's the glory in the declaration. Here's the glory. We got this declaration. It's a good declaration. Here's the glory. Here's the wonder. Here's the amazement of the declaration. In that verse, he's saying, shouldn't I show mercy? Jonah, shouldn't I show mercy? Shouldn't I show compassion? Isn't that what goodness and love does? Ought not Christ to suffer these things? Ought I not to suffer these things? We declare this remedy for sin. We declare the suffering substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of the declaration is this: God's desire to do it. His desire to do it. He told his disciples at his Last Supper. Here he is. He gives out this bread. He gives out this wine. He's going to the cross. He said, this cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This represents the covenant that you have in my blood. And he said, with desire, I have desired to drink this cup with you. He asked two of his disciples, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? And they ignorantly said, yes, we can. And he said, you will. And Jonah did, and we have. We died with him. We were buried with him. We rose with him. We endured our suffering in him, with him, in union with him. He said, you will drink that cup with me. And at his table, he said, with desire, I love you. I love you. Ought not Christ to suffer these things? Our Lord endured the cross. He endured our redemption for the joy set before him, the happiness set before him. Should not I spare Nineveh? The answer is, Lord, if that's your heart's desire, absolutely. Have thine own way, Lord. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. For God so loved. I don't know if we'll ever enter into the love God had for his people, those sinners like Jonah, by sending his only begotten son down into the depths for us. For God so loved, he sent his only begotten son to the heart of the earth, the grave, death, hell, separation from God. That every soul that he causes to believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That is where the writing of the book of Jonah ends. That's where the recording stopped. The penman was writing, and that's where God had him stop. I couldn't help but wonder this, though. I wonder if our Lord said to his prophet right then, if there would have been a verse 12, or if there would have been chapter 5, verse 1. I wonder if our Lord told his prophet right then and there, now, go to the next city. You keep going. you spread this gospel to all the world. You just keep declaring it. You just keep preaching it. You keep telling every soul, you've sinned, but there is mercy through the cross, the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy. Stand together with me.